Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. The village of Green Island made headlines here in Capital Region this week after the mayor, Ellen McNulty Ryan, proposed a change to village code to limit the number of pets per household to 3 dogs and or cats in a single home. The penalty for violating the new statute could be fines and possibly even jail time. The village decided to table the proposal at last night's public hearing, but the controversial nature of the issue has raised questions about how effective any such legislation would be to stem widespread cases of animal abuse and whether existing laws are effective enough already. Surrounding towns enforce limits on the number of pets in a home. The Green Island mayor says it's a quality of life issue. Residents have complained about dog feces, noise violations, and other issues. Local law enforcement have also found 10 dogs living in a small residence while investigating a complaint. Today we want your take, of course, on this topic. Do you think laws limiting the number of pets are effective? Are they necessary, given existing animal cruelty laws in the region? Of course, there doesn't seem to be a law about how many guns you can have in your house, but there does seem to be this growing movement on how many animals. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. And you can, of course, write us here at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. Well, folks, what do you think? Is there anything really worse than, well, stepping in dog poop? I don't know about that. I've done it, and let me tell you, then you got to find a place to get rid of it. It's awful because not everybody is a good citizen. In New York City, where we've been spending some time every once in a while, people really seem to have adopted that. So anyway, there's a lot you can do. Let's go to Martha in Gansvoort. Okay, Martha, you're on.
Hello. I think people should be allowed to have as many pets as they can responsibly take care of. But I think they're missing the important fact, and that is that governments should get involved in spaying and neutering. They spend a lot on animal control, but they're doing nothing to help a lot of low-income people get their animals neutered. Now, I have a 92-year-old friend who just rescued a starving little tiger kitten on her road. She already has 6 cats. She has called the no-kill shelters that she knows of, and they're all filled up. And she really doesn't think she loves the kitten, but she can't keep it. She doesn't know what to do. Her daughter from Canada came down, and she's already got 4 cats, and her husband won't let her take another. And there is an overpopulation problem that the government should be having spay-neuter clinics for people.
Well, sometimes, Martha, in towns like ours, Great Barrington, some of the vets get together and they do that. So it's not as if it's not done at all, but the government, you think, should do it at a time when there are decreasing resources for government.
Well, they have to spend money on animal control, and they wouldn't have that much of a problem if they would get every, animal that isn't being bred spayed and neutered.
Yeah. Well, you make a good point. Hey, listen, I thank you for calling, Martha. You always have something good to offer us, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay, so it's 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It's your show. You can call or not. If you don't, I'm going to read the weather report over and over and over again. So it's entirely up to you. It's Alan. I'm asking you to participate. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Joe in Orange County. Joe, you're on.
As long as the weather's good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What does it say here? It says Wednesday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-60s. Today it says... You got the point. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Alan, you know, as our illustrious governor said, it doesn't take 7 dogs to chase down a deer. Or was that 7 bullets to kill a deer? I don't remember what it was. But I'm really getting tired of government being into everything. In China, they limit the number of children you have. Mm-hmm. Here, they want to limit the number of pets. In New York City, you can't drink sugary drinks. You know, I mean, we're treating our people in our society like they're idiots, like they can't make any decisions on their own. And, you know, it's getting to be overwhelming. We're listening in on their calls from the NSA. Our friends at the FBI are checking out the Tea Party.
Don't forget the income tax.
The income tax as well. All those different types of things. And, you know, I'll even throw in Obamacare. But it's really getting tiresome. We've got a nanny gate here. My concern is it's going to get worse than a nanny gate. We really don't think people can make any decent decisions.
Well, the problem is you brought it up, Joe, so I'm just going to say that in terms of, you know, Mayor Bloomberg and the soda ban, I couldn't disagree with you more. We have this rush of diabetes, we have obesity, and is it the purpose of government to protect us? There, I've said it.
But not to the point where we treat people like idiots, and, I mean, you know, there's protection to the extent where people should use common sense.
And yeah, I mean, should. There's always a big difference. I always say, there's a big difference between should and is.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, why not legislate everything then? Why not legislate everything then, Alan?
You make a good point, Joe. Thank you for calling. Appreciate
it. Enjoy your show. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Colleen in Saratoga, 1-800-348-2551. Colleen, you're on.
Hi. I think the difference here is that this is a village where housing is much more condensed into a small space, and neighbors are a lot closer. And I think too many animals often in those kinds of areas becomes a public safety issue.
So you're for it?
In villages, yes, where the housing is very condensed and there's not a lot of room between neighbors, and it becomes a public safety issue as opposed to really being about people not being allowed to have animals they want.
Mm. I see. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, bye. Phones are ringing. This is good. Very good. I'm very happy. You've all made me happy. Let's go to Matt in applause. Okay. Go ahead, Matt. You're on.
So my take on this is nonsense. As you pointed out, there are already laws, pooper scooper laws. There are noise laws, kind of public nuisance laws, public health laws.
Yeah.
Don't count the pets in people's homes is silly. If someone can comply with all those laws and their pets are quiet and clean and not making a stink, and they can have as many pets in their house as they want.
You know, Matt, as I've always talked about in my classes, almost every law is as a result of somebody having done something really bad, just one person, or every rule. You know, the flight attendant comes on and says, be careful when you open up the thing because the luggage may have shifted around and hit you in the head. Well, somebody obviously did that, and they're being sued for $1 million. And there's obviously something that set all of this off in this particular town, don't you think?
Yeah, reaction is a bad way to go often. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's okay to pull your hand away from the hot stove, but if we live in constant reaction mode, yeah, it's silly. I mean, obviously, I take a very libertarian stand here, but It seems like every problem that this law is designed to address is already being addressed in the other laws that exist that we all deal with so far. I mean, if you are going to argue with a pooper scooper and if you are going to argue with noise regulation, we may argue about what the decibel rating should be or, you know, that's those are reasonable arguments, but it's silly just to add more. We live in an overregulated society, and this is a no-brainer. They've already got enough laws in the books. Enforce the ones you have and leave this one alone.
Well, Matt, I thank you for your call. You make great sense. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Want to hear from you. And, of course, you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let's go to Jack in Palinville. Okay, Jack in Palinville, you're on.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Yeah, I was wondering if you think that airport security, where they pat down the women, and there's been all sorts of complaints and ridiculous things that.
Well, they pat down they pat down the men too.
All right, but I think in particular they've had problems with patting down the women and being accused of groping and everything.
Yep.
would you be in favor of that also being at all bus stations and train stations?
No.
No?
No, no. I think you make a point. I mean, you know, why do it in one and not the other? But, at the beginning, when everybody was really scared, they started talking about, they would have some people walking around the train station. They would have some guys with dogs and maybe some rifles. You go down to New York City, and you got guys with guns walking around the train stations. But your point is what? That if it's done for one, it should be done for all or for nothing?
No, I don't think it should be done at the airports with all the horror stories that have come out of what's going on. And apparently...
You and my wife on the same side. I am not. I believe anything we can do to protect us, okay, I want it done. And if it means...
Yeah, but then everybody at WAMC should be frisked at the door every day before they come in. You can't ever be too safe.
No, it's just a matter of where you call your shots. Know what I mean?
Well, they don't do it to you, Alan, you know, like they don't do to white people stop and frisk. Nobody's going around Colony pulling over white people.
Oh, well, now we're not doing stop and frisk right now. However, you make a point, but you also have to consider the fact when NPR did the story, they talked to an awful lot of people of color who said, hey, I'd rather be stopped and frisked than murdered because we're the big subjects here.
Well, there you go. Now, I totally don't buy that. I'd have to really... speak face-to-face with people from Harlem and New York before I believe that.
Yeah, well, Jack, you make a lot of good points, and it's always a matter of balance, isn't it?
It's always a matter of balance. I don't want to keep on arguing with you, but I take that back. In other words, you can't not have any protection whatsoever for anybody at all. No, you do. There are certain places and times people do need to be protected, and there does need to be security. It's how far you
Absolutely. Hey, Jack, we are up against the break. I thank you for contesting with me. It's excellent. It always makes an interesting program. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Support for WAMC comes from Rhinebeck Artist Shops, Rhinebeck in New Paltz, providing professional picture framing, fine art materials for students, professionals, and the public. The Atwater Art Gallery upstairs in Rhinebeck, rhinebeckart.com. Buttermilk Falls Inn, Milton, a 75-acre Hudson Riverfront estate with lodging, a farm-to-table restaurant, an organic kitchen garden, orchard, and spa. Booking day, evening, weekends, and events, buttermilkfallsinn.com. Glens Falls Hospital, serving 6 counties in the Southern Adirondacks in 28 locations. Big City Medicine, Hometown Care, Twitter, Facebook, and glensfallshospital.org. The Egg, Albany, New York, presenting the Jim Questlin Jug Band 50th Reunion featuring Bill Keith, Jeff and Maria Mulder, Wednesday, August 28th at 7:30 p.m., theegg.org. And McCabe & Mack, Attorneys at Law, Poughkeepsie, New York, providing legal services for residential and commercial real estate, zoning, and environmental issues throughout the Hudson Valley. MCCM.com.
And here I am, absolutely convinced that when we heard that last underwriting announcement, it was Jeff and Maria Muldaur, not Muldaur. Okay, Muldaur, I think, was in the... in the movies. Okay, so let's go to Nancy in Belchertown. Okay, Nancy, you're on.
Hi, I'm afraid I don't have any conclusive arguments to make because people have rights. I hear that all the time.
Sure.
But speaking of animals, nobody likes to hear that animals have rights either. That gets to be a very difficult thing. Even my husband argues with me. But if a creature can suffer,
yep,
it seems to me that that is a distinguishing mark. And if you decide who you're going to pat down and everything, those are decisions made by adults, for adults, and about adults. But when it comes to animals, they don't speak up for themselves, obviously. And
well, Murray does. He tells you what he likes and doesn't like.
I know exactly what you mean. I have a dog who's very expressive also. But and I have many animals, and they are all kept in the best health and vaccinated and so forth, and the vet is always on top of things. It's expensive, though.
Oh, boy.
I will agree.
Oh, boy.
Extremely, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah. We had Murray's teeth done the other day. Oh, my goodness gracious. That was expensive.
Woo. I know. And if you have a horse, who needs to have a cortisone shot or because aging is very hard on them, and cats. There are times when my veterinary bill is equal to my mortgage, and those are tough, tough
absolutely, and think of what you paid for the pet in the first place.
Exactly. You know, well, I can't rescue animals that have been tossed off, so that's not hard but for me. But I think if suffering is a situation, you know, and it happens in the country, too. I don't want people to...
But Nancy, you need to bring it home here in terms of the subject of the day, which is whether or not there should be a limit on how many pets somebody can have.
No, I don't think there should be. However, I do think that there should be observation of the condition of those animals.
Right.
The town comes out and checks how many animals I have in order to tax them, which means my horses, chickens, and ducks get looked at.
What do you mean tax them? You get taxed per horse? Am I naive here? Is this something I don't know?
No. Yeah. Matter of fact, it used to be, the value used to be, oh, let's say a $5,000 value on any horse. And then people in our town said, look, I've got a horse that's 30 years old. He can barely move from his water to his food. And what are you doing, taxing me the same amount as the guy down the street who makes money off of his animal?
It's an interesting point. I probably am wrong about this, but when I was selectman in the little town of Alford, Massachusetts, I think we used to vote for animal inspector. I think he was on the ballot. You make an interesting point. So those guys were looking at those animals. Mm.
Yes. And they do it for taxing, but they also put down whether they think the flock looks healthy and so forth. And nobody does anything about my cats, which I know are well cared for, and my dog.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not mind someone stepping in and doing that, maybe because I have a free conscience. But I recognize that people without enough income, they need help. And
how many animals do you have, Nancy?
Two horses, a dog, about a dozen cats, and a flock of geese and a flock of chickens.
That must keep you busy all day.
It does. It does. And my yard is a constant pooper scooper situation. I have a horse pasture. I have 3 acres, so I'm very fortunate.
Yeah.
But I would never impose, you know, what goes on in my yard and somebody else's yard, right down to the roosters not crowing in the morning.
Well, we have a no rooster ordinance in Great Barrington, which I thoroughly disapprove of, because I like roosters. And I get up before they do anyway. Yeah.
Well, mine will sometimes start, I'm not sure why, at around 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's about right. That's when I get up.
And I check with my neighbors all the time, and they say, no, we've either stopped noticing, or we never noticed it in the first place, or we like it.
Okay, so we're going to mark you down for against the number of animals being limited in places. Nancy, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Great call. 1-800-348-2551. Andy in Saugerties, you're on. Andy.
Ooh. Hi, Dr. Sartok.
Hi. How you doing, Andy? What you got?
The only thing, I'm going to go with the obvious here, and I'm going to say I'm not opposed to the law, but the number is awful low. Three,
yeah. Well, you know, there are apartment buildings in New York where, as I said this morning, you got to bring the dog for an interview for the board. The board of the co-op interviews you. And interviews your dog. Dog's got to sit there.
You know, that's their private property. And like, I want to go in another angle too. The gentleman before who was arguing about, you know, the nanny state and government intervention. Well, for you know, it's not the government; it's the people. So the people who live in those apartment buildings, they don't want, you know, there's. It's not. They always think it's the government coming down upon, you know, what you want to do. Well, there's 50% of the people or more who are saying, you know, we don't want 12 dogs, you know, living next
to us.
So
that's democracy.
Exactly. Well, that's I've got a big libertarian streak, too. But, you know, on the other hand, I don't like stepping in dog poop either.
I got a friend, Andy, who lives on our block, who has a next door neighbor. They only have one dog. But that dog makes more noise than, you know, six dogs might. So it's a matter of the quality of the dog, too, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Andy, thank you very much for your wonderful call. Appreciate it. Well, the phones are ringing. I got to tell you, there's one free phone now because Andy's off. And, you know, get in line. This is a very important subject. Let's go to Jamie in Delmar. Jamie, go.
Hey, Alan, terrific topic about government interaction and social problems.
Right.
What I believe is, first separate it from the urban and the country and talk about the urban environment. There's no doubt that people derive benefits from having a pet. They learn empathy, care for another,
yep.
care for the pet itself.
And it makes them, if you're in the urban environment, you know, some of those dogs can be, you know, good conversation pieces. You meet your wife that way. You can meet your wife that way.
They can drink sugary drinks if they're willing to walk the dog three times a day. But really, it's most people have one pet, maybe two pets. We're talking about the very small percentage that have multiple pets that put themselves, their neighbors, and the pets themselves at risk. So my simple thing is, being from the state of New York, learning how to get creative income for government, would have a tiered system. In other words, a licensing fee. If you have one pet, it's a certain amount. But if you get into multiples, you have to be willing to put up the cost up front, almost like having a bond for their care and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the role of government and laws and regulation is to change behavior. And that's a very simple way to change behavior, and you're only affecting a small number of citizens. So I don't think it's particularly onerous. A lot of people have very strong opinions, even though it doesn't affect them, but it can affect others. So pretty simple and straightforward to me.
It is. It sounds like, you know, you've thought about this and you're making a contribution. Of course, there are those people who think, you know, it's just another tax.
It's a user fee. Remember, it's not a tax.
Yeah, well, that's right. we've learned that over the years, don't we?
Well, some of the money can go to animal control or no-kill shelters and other things.
That's what they always say.
That can be a benefit.
That's what they always say.
That's what we always say.
It could. But does it ever? Jamie, thanks for a great call and very reasonable. Very reasonable. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Let's go to Sarah in Albany. Sarah, you're on.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, very well, Sarah. Very well.
Great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I think Nancy was on the right track when she mentioned the issue of animal rights. And she kind of brushed over it because I guess she felt that it would be taken so negatively by people. But actually, I think it is very important to distinguish whether we are talking about the primary interests of humans or the primary interests of animals.
Of course, we could never kill a cow and eat the meat, right? And we never shoot a deer, you know, don't think.
No. It's not that I am immediately saying that we should let animals rule the world. It's more a question of perspective. It's more a question of which interest do we take into account. And I'm actually a writer, and I'm finishing a book that addresses issues of animals and anthropocentrism. And it was
say that word again.
Anthropocentrism is simply keeping the human as your primary point of view and the interests of the human as your primary set of values.
Fascinating.
Yes, and sometimes people use the term biocentrism to characterize an attempt to consider the natural world other than the human and the fact that that might also have interest. And because I am so kind of tuned into that, when I heard the topic of today's conversation, immediately assumed that the reason they were going to restrict the number of animals was to protect animals being abused in puppy mills, in people hoarders who have 25 cats that aren't well cared for. That was my original assumption. So when I learned that apparently this has nothing to do with animals' interests, but rather how people feel about it, I was kind of surprised.
Really surprised? I'm not surprised. I would be surprised if it was about animal interests.
Well, maybe that's because I have spent so much time with recent reading. I mean, there's actually many, many, many books, many articles. The world is now filled with literature that addresses animal interests and also the kind of intrinsic interests of nature. Mm. And, you know, because we are basically destroying the earth right now in terms of our anthropocentric interests with, I mean, global warming is just the most obvious, but with the destruction of species through habitat destruction and so forth. And obviously that's not the issue here, but the idea that we might think of taking an animal perspective in terms of the interest, the best interest of the animal, I think that is relevant.
Let me put it this way, Sarah. I gave you some extra time here. I'm trying to always move everybody along because I'm so fascinated by what you're saying, and I appreciate that call. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. If you're trying to get in, now's a good time. You got two free phones out of the five. Let's go to Layla of Mount Tremper. Okay, Layla.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I'm sure a lot of animal inspectors help save animals from lives of misery. I think I'm sure they do a really positive thing. Yeah. One of the questions that comes up for me is what informs the standards of a quality of life of an animal? And I'll give an example. I have a German Shepherd who's very healthy now, but she had major skin issues, and she started developing a cyst on her belly. The allopathic vet probably would have told us to cut it off. But I see both an allopathic vet and a homeopathic vet, and the homeopathic vet has allopathic training, so she sort of knows what's best handled by homeopathy and what's not.
So allopathic, just for us who aren't up to date on all this, that's a regular vet as opposed to
exactly.
A homeopathic. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So she said, you know, Daisy has all the symptoms of vaccine damage, and what her body is doing is detoxing and releasing the toxins into that cyst. It's not dangerous. If you cut it off now, you're going to abort that process, and her body will send the toxins back into the tissues. It's best to keep an eye on it and let the cyst continue to grow, and then at a certain point when it starts to grow really fast, then have it taken off. So I followed her advice, and I love our regular vet, too. He's great. When I came in and I said, what do you think? And they said, let's take it off. And it was like her suitcase. It had filled up with all the toxins, or at least the toxins she was discharging, you know, on that level. And it helped her skin problems enormously. And if I had cut it off sooner. So what I'm saying is, and she looked really funny, I have to say. And like there are people who would literally pull their dogs away when they were walking past us.
Yeah, yeah.
She wasn't contagious. She was actually healing, but it wasn't your common standard of what healing
looks
like.
Okay. Now I need you to relate this, Layla, to the question of the day, which is, should there be a limit on how many animals?
Well, I'm relating it to one of the very interesting issues that came up was like the role of the animal inspector.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what standards, you know, like who decide. For example, I have 20 chickens and they have plenty of housing. They have a good life. They free range. I have two turkeys. I have two dogs. They're all healthy. We take, hopefully, God willing, we take really good care of them. But we have several acres. It doesn't always work in a town. So I think my answer to that is it's relative. But it's also relative, like if an inspector came, he probably would find that they're well taken care of here because they've got space. But what if you were cramming them all in one backyard?
But of course, that's not always true. I remember something on the air on one of the television stations a couple of years ago in which a guy had a farm and the animals were completely, you know, completely and wrongly treated.
No, I agree with you, Alan. I'm manfully struggling to answer your question.
No, okay. No, and I think you've provided an insight. I very much appreciate that. I do.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks for
taking the call.
Yeah, bye.
Okay,
let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail in Kingston, you're on. Abigail.
No, this is Meg.
Meg. Well, I don't see a Meg up there, but sure. Go ahead, Meg.
Okay, and I apologize if this is going to sound like a real snarky comment. But what's to stop the authorities to limiting how many children people may have?
Like in China.
Like in China. So it's, you know, some people could say it's a quality of life issue for, you know, people have too many children on the block and it, you know, ruins, you know, the neighborhood.
No, some people could say it. Some people do say it.
Do say it. So, I mean, start limiting animals. What, you know, where do you stop? You know, what number, where do you stop, what species do you stop at?
In other words, once there's this sort of social intrusion, the damage is done. It's going to start spiraling.
And I agree, and that's just, I apologize if that sounds snarky, but...
Well, why is it snarky? I mean, it's a point of view. There's no question. You're saying once you allow politicians to start to do these things, things can get better, but they can get worse.
Because it's all a matter of opinion and perspective. And, you know, there are people who have certain perspectives regarding animals. There's people who have different perspectives regarding children. And the list goes on. And who's to decide?
And in China, where they started that stuff, I believe I read recently they're not satisfied with the number of children who are being born.
No.
So now they changed the rule back again.
And it's backfired on them socially, economically, and they haven't foreseen the consequences.
Including the fact that many Chinese folks in China, we know this, wanted boy child. So if they thought there was going to be a girl child, there was either abortion or worse, much worse.
So that was just my comment that I wanted.
Well, you got something going here. Maybe we should do that in the future. Thanks, Thanks, Abigail. Appreciate it.
Okay. This is Meg. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, Meg, I forgot. Yeah, Meg. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go to Antonia and Castleton. Is it Antonia?
Antonia.
Antonia. Okay, yes. You're up.
I think that it's ridiculous to be a numbers game, just simply because I've seen so many people who can care for so many animals so well,
right.
And yet, on the other hand, I've seen somebody who can't care for a single dog or a single cat without, totally messing it up and neglecting them. And so basically, I think that if you're going to start passing laws, you need to just pass laws that deal with picking up the dog poop or the barking dogs, noise ordinances that don't just cover dogs, but music and other, annoying things that your neighbors do.
Yeah.
You know, don't just, punish people who have animals.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I think.
Well, what you think is important, and I'm glad you called, and we're going to take a break now. And if your name is Mike or Evie or anybody else who's on the phone, you just stay there. We'll be right with you. Okay.
Support for WAMC comes from Veterinary Emergency and Specialty Hospital, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, providing 24-hour emergency and critical care for dogs and cats every day, including all holidays. VESHDeerfield.com. Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. AshokanCenter.org. Mario's True Value Home Center, Volation, New York, two locations, open 7 days a week, building supplies, equipment rentals, hardware needs, Benmore paints and stains. True Value, start right, start here, Mario'sTrueValue.com. Bennington Museum, Vermont, now on view, two new galleries, Gilded Age Vermont and Bennington Modernism. BenningtonMuseum.org, and Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, New York, a green design showroom dedicated to healthy interiors with non-toxic flooring, wall finishes, beds, and more, green-conscience.com.
Cool music. Two free phones. Let's go to Mike in Albany. Mike, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Well,
I'm just calling. I have a neighbor who's a talk of the neighborhood who has at least 50 cats.
Whoa, and, that's a lot of cats.
A lot of cats, and none of the neighbors ever talk about trying to turn them in, but they do talk about how the neighbor is always bringing the cats to the vet, and they have some strange illnesses, and I just don't think that that's something that's fair to animals, especially in that large quantity. But then you have the moral obligation. Do you turn your neighbor in? I know it's it must be some type of a mental illness, but, I'll just hear your comments off the air and just wanted to mention that, it's sort of a dilemma when you have a neighbor that had something like that.
Sure. It is. I don't know what comments I could make off the air. I mean, I think you've made the comments. It's a tough one.
Yeah, well, I mean, what does a person do? It's, you know, they know that maybe ethically it's wrong, but then, you know, what do you turn your neighbor in?
Yeah. Well, that's always an issue. Neighbors, maybe we should do a show on neighbors. That's a good idea. Okay, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we got three free phones now. First time in the show, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Evie in Kingston. Okay, Evie, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not interested in supporting the law, a proposal to limit the number of animals in a household, not because I think that number should be unlimited, but because it misses the point. It trivializes the real questions. There needs to be a very intense public discourse about what is the proper relationship between animals and humans? What are animals doing on this earth? Why is it that we see them as there for our personal purposes? And why aren't we addressing... I mean, some people are offended by stepping in dog poop. I'm offended by 2 billion animals a year being cruelly tortured and slaughtered in slaughterhouses.
Mm-hmm.
We all are offended by different things, and we can talk to one another about those things and look at some of the root causes of who do we think we are on this earth, who do we think animals are, and wasn't there such a thing as animal husbandry once upon a time, where the chief farmer on a piece of land cared for his animals as he did his family?
Mm-hmm.
We have.
Was that the word, is that where the word husbandry came from, you think?
That's how I'm seeing it.
Ah, interesting.
I have to admit, I'm not approaching this any of this in a scholarly way, mm-hmm. but it seems logical to me that mm-hmm. when the welfare of an entire family depends upon the welfare of the animals, that that they were very well cared for.
Mm.
Was there some cruelty? Yes, there always is and will be. But back to the number of animals, I think that if we can just start in school, in schools, teaching children how do you select a pet based on the way it looks or the way or your family's lifestyle? How do you properly care for one? What do you do with it when it's going to live 20 years and you're going to be out of school in 5?
Yeah.
You know, there are very practical questions that
there are. Now, okay. We want to let everybody have a chance. I thank you for your very heartfelt comments, and I appreciate them.
Thanks
again. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We've got a Dr. Paul. Dr. Paul, you're on.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Where are you?
I'm in Millbrook, New York.
Oh, good.
I also practice in Manhattan.
Oh, good.
And my comment really addresses legislation in general.
Okay.
I've had clients that have had upwards of 30 and 40 animals, and every animal is maintained meticulously, and the quality of their care and feeding is optimum.
Okay.
Conversely, I've had clients that have had 1 and 2 animals where they're maintained in abysmal conditions.
Yep.
And the question of the problem, it really revolves around legislation. You can't really legislate quality of care with animals, and you similarly can't legislate quality of care with humans. You know, there are kids that are not cared for appropriately, mm-hmm. and there are big families where they've got wonderful family relationships.
But we do, we do remove children and put them in foster homes when they're abused. So there is some quality of care that's legislated, right?
And similarly, animals that are not cared for are removed as well.
Yeah.
Humane societies and ASPCA, actually the ASPCA in Manhattan is very active in removing animals from in situations that are inappropriate. I guess so. Yes, to a certain extent, that is legislated, but legislating relative to numbers becomes an issue because, you know, who's to say at what point the numbers reflect the quality of care?
Okay, but let me ask you another question as long as I have you. Isn't there also something to be said about money in all of this? I mean, that, you know, somebody who has enough money to take care of their dog or their cats or 10 dogs or 10 cats is in a better spot situation than those people you've seen who have no money?
Unequivocally, that is a very, very appropriate characterization in that you know, these are dollars that, especially in this time, in this economy, are hard to find. The discretionary dollars that one has to be willing to expend towards, whether they consider it just an animal, quote unquote, or really a part of the family, there are costs involved. And actually, your last caller had a very pertinent perspective that, you know, certain breeds, certain species of animals require more care, and certain breeds, certain species of animals are going to live beyond the anticipated time frame that someone wants an animal for it, companionship or whatever.
Sure. Hey, Paul, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Let's go to our friend Beth from Niskayuna. Welcome back, Beth.
Well, yeah, I was going to try to tie the money. I'll start with that. I would guess the person that made the complaint is a connected and wealthy person. Be that as it may, the other two points I was going to make is that where I live, there I have been out walking the dog, and I have found multiple hypodermic needles and live birdshot casings, meaning they've got the BBs in them.
Yeah, yeah.
And tons of garbage, which far surpasses dog poo, which washes away. Just step on in a hypodermic needle.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. So those, putting out some garbage cans would be helpful. People would be more inclined to clean up. But also, if you're not going to regulate pet stores or breeders in Green Island, it doesn't make any sense. And I'm sure, just like in this area, there are farms and there's actually research labs. You can't tell individual people that they have a limit to what they can have and then allow livestock or pet stores or any other commercial venture or breeder. It does not make sense, and that's what this is. That's what this reminds me of. And it must be, I wonder who made the complaint.
We could all wonder about that, Beth, but in Oklahoma, I remember the song, I believe it's Oklahoma, it's either All or Nothing.
All or nothing.
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
Well, because you're making the point. You're saying, well, you know, if you're going to allow a certain number of animals, then you also have to regulate breeders. You also have to do this.
Yes.
And there will be those who come back at you and say, well, come on, Beth. It's, you know, you got to start somewhere.
You got to start. Well, why would you start with an individual, though? I'm going to make the reasoning.
Yeah.
Because a commercial venture has hundreds, if not thousands, mm-hmm. of pets or animals, whereas an individual is very small. And I'm going to make one more point.
Yeah, but the aggregate, Beth, the aggregate is the issue. It's not only
If you go after one commercial venture,
yeah.
you're going to be dealing with more animals. You're going to get more bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to make one further point, because I know they would say it would be unsightly to live next to a neighbor in the smell if they have a lot of animals. Where I live, there's a slightly elevated level of sulfur dioxide.
Uh-huh.
So that means exhaust fumes. That is extremely unpleasant where it would be. So that's, to me, everybody that's driving a big car, all the commercial traffic. So it's a form of scapegoating to go after a handful of individuals as opposed to, like I said, the larger corporation, okay. and at least breeders. Oh, come on.
As always, interesting, Beth. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. Dr. Jane, MD, in Lake Luzerne. Hi, Dr. Jane.
Hi. How are you, Alan?
I'm good. And what's up?
So I was going to comment on the idea of whether if you suspect that someone has too many animals or treating them cruelly, like what would you do? You should report it or not report it. You know, in the medical field, if we suspect someone of child abuse, they have to be reported,
yep.
you know. And, you know, truthfully, I think we need some kind of regulation in that regard because it's, you know, there are many times you'll see something, when you're walking down the street, you'll see someone treating their animal cruelly. You may suspect that they have too many animals in their house, but what do? You know, most people just say, well, that's their neighbor. They don't pay attention to it. And I think it's part of, like, you're part of a community, you're part of a town, you're part of a city, wherever you are.
Okay, but let me ask you something. Have you ever turned anybody in?
I have. Yeah, I absolutely have. I absolutely have. In my profession, I've had to, unfortunately, and because we're required in my profession, child abuse, we're required to turn them in.
Yeah.
I have tried to turn in someone for pet abuse, And, you know, the thing, you know, in child abuse, when we turn someone in, there's a whole investigation that occurs. It's a whole, you know, there's child protective services, and it all takes place very, very, you know, routinely. For turning someone in for pet abuse, you know, you can call the police and say, I just saw someone kick their dog across the street, and I can give you the description, I can tell you where they were, and I can tell you where they walked their dog. And they're like, okay, there's no follow-up for that because there's no system in place. So instead of limiting the number of pets you have, I think that we should be more, you know, cognizant of looking at what people do and being observant of what's around us, you know. And I think just like we do for, you know, 9/11, being observant of what people do, I think that we should be more cognizant of that.
Okay, well, you're good, Jane. Dr. Jane, thank you for calling. I want to try to get a few more in here, okay? Thanks again.
Yep, thank
Bye.
You.
Yep. And let's go to Merle in Kingston. Merle, go.
Hey, I want to just give you two quick stories, one the good, the other the bad and the ugly.
Okay, you got to hurry. Yeah.
Okay, one, I have a dear friend who's involved in animal care. She has a ton, dogs, cats, everything. They are so well taken care of, they eat before her husband. The other is there was a gentleman, had 22 dogs living in a barn, in their own feces, starving. He was taken to task by the local SPCA, given a slap on a wrist as a felony. They left the animals with him. About 2 months ago, 22 dogs burned to death in the very same barn in the fire.
Terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
No, true story, and they're talking about giving him a felony again. So the truth is that it depends on the individual.
Yep.
Some people can handle it, work it, afford it. Some can't. And the other case is that I just heard that the New York State Assembly did not sign the bill for an animal abuse registry, which floors me.
Okay.
This was, if you abuse an animal, you go in a registry, you don't get another one.
Merle, if you had called earlier, called earlier, I'd give you more time, but now we're
that's
running.
Fine.
Thanks
Thank
again.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. Bye.
Hi. Let's go to Robert in Albany. Robert, you're on. Keep it short.
Okay, I want to ask you to talk about it, but first of all, I took a course at public policy at SUNY Albany. I think that the public needs to understand they're making fun of us on the radio stations like 1300, Ed. I was hoping that you could talk, but what I understand about when they make laws, it's because somebody has to be accountable for the safety and public policy, and human beings have to be held accountable because that's the glue of our society. But I would like you to talk about, before you end the show, that people don't understand this, and they're making jokes on the radio stations. And I was hoping, as a professor,
oh, you mean they're making on
1300 AM. They actually were joking about it yesterday.
Well, what is 1300? Is that a station?
Yes, it's AM. It's right in Albany.
No, I know what it is. I'm just kidding about it. It's the.
But I'm just saying that it needs to be. You need to educate the public about.
Okay, Robert, you've said it, and I respect it.
I'm
and
you too.
And you're right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go to. Let's see. We only have seconds now. Forrest in Schenectady. Forrest, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just wanted to quick comment. I'm just amazed on how we like to have an opinion about things, but we actually put the dogs away. You know, the dogs that are abused are. It's terrible to see them being in a shelter. But we don't like them on the street, but then we also don't like them, you know, we don't like too many in our neighbor's yards. We don't like to, if one nips us, we sue them for $100,000 and we, you know, put the dog down. And we don't really seem to have any common sense, and we like to keep everything out of the way. You know, the dogs are afraid. I mean, we are definitely afraid, and we seem to instigate this fear with legislation. And I just wasn't, it just seems boiled a little bit when we talk about passing more laws instead of really talking about the rest of the issue, you know.
Okay, Forrest, thank you very much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've left some people, including Anne, on the phone. I am so sorry. But we are out of time, and I want to thank everybody who did call, and you were all terrific today. And I do again apologize to those left on the line. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, for over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop, the BowWowBathhouse.com. Capcom, a federal credit union offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more. CapcomFCU.org. And Barry Price Architecture since 1996, specializing in residential and institutional buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitects.com. And the Capital District Scottish Games, featuring 500 pipers, 200 drummers, entertainment, and more. Altamont Fairgrounds, August 31st and September 1st, scottgames.com. Thanks again, everyone. Something in my throat. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Kimba Lipscomb. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producers, Jessica Blaustein, Marshall. I'm Alan Seth Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.